If you have your Bible, please would you turn to.
As we continue through this book of Ephesians, we're going to look at the first half of chapter 5 today. And I'm going to pick out a theme in particular that says that we are children of light. And there's a challenge in the middle of this reading to walk as children of light. That's who God says we are. It's not who God says we must try to become. He says we are children of light. So let's read this passage. Ephesians chapter 5, and I'm going to read from verse 1 to 21. Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you, and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. But do not let immorality or any impurity or greed even be named among you, as is proper among saints. And there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not be partakers with them. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. And do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light, for everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason it says, "Awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. And be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. May God add his blessing to this reading from his word. I'd like to share a few thoughts with you about darkness and light. Would someone please turn the lights off? Total surprise. Most of us prefer it when the lights are on. Darkness is not so comfortable. And if we have a bit of light, you never know what it might show. I want to talk a little bit about the theme of living as though we're children of light. Another little illustration here. Could I please have Nathan and Christine? Christine is going to use a mirror. Shall we turn the light off again? Shall we turn the lights on again? We have a number of illustrations in the Bible concerning light. And here's a modern illustration. This one isn't much use at the moment, is it?
Nope.
Not much power coming from me through it, so it's not a light. But there's two kinds of scriptures. One is the one that emphasises that God is a light and he needs to shine on us. Another set of scriptures is that we ourselves are also a light. And this passage tells us that we are children, we have become children of light. And that little thing with the mirror was a sort of halfway house in the sense that the mirror itself was not a light, but it was reflecting light. And there's another little picture for us about how we can reflect God's light. Like the moon, which doesn't have any light of its own, but is very bright when the sun is shining on it. So I thought, what does it mean to live in the light? I keep this plant in my study. Apparently it's called a spider plant. Christine tells me that it's a very good choice of a house plant. It has the attribute of purifying the air. It absorbs toxic molecules in the air and cleans the air. I also like it because it's got these little babies. And I have to remember to put it on the windowsill in my study because it's light that feeds it. And there's a wonderful process that biology teachers know about more than I do. I look to Barry here, called photosynthesis, which is the manufacture by plants of food in the sunlight. And plants have a wonderful relationship with us that we, being a doctor, I knew about this. We breathe in oxygen and breathe out carbon dioxide, and the plants do the opposite. They take the carbon dioxide and they produce oxygen, which is very good for the ecology and balance of the world. But they need light to do it. God has put the sun there as a tremendous source of heat and light. And hopefully we're people who generate more light than heat when we speak. But who knows? So the theme of light and darkness. How can we be little lights? You probably know that song, "This Little Light of Mine." Yeah. I'm going to let it shine. And we tried to find it on the YouTube, but we couldn't find one that sort of presented it in quite the right way. So the best news for you today is that I'm not going to sing it to you. Okay. The first point I'm going to make is that God rescued us from darkness into light. And I'm going to be presenting the contrast between darkness and light all the way through this talk, darkness and light. God's nature is light. It's a word in 1 John that says, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. In other words, he's the source of light, and his very nature is to be real and genuine, and to be pouring forth light for the benefit of other people. And Jesus also called himself the light of the world. He said, I am the light of the world. And he is the true light who, coming into the world, enlightens every man, it says in John chapter 1, verse 9. And Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And Jesus said, I've come as light into the world, that everyone who believes in me may not remain in darkness. So here's the first contrast. Until God comes into our lives, we live in a state of darkness. And Paul in 2 Corinthians 4 says that the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they don't see the light of the glory, the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So God needs to show us that Jesus is wonderful, as we've been singing today, and that Jesus reflects God's glory and shows God's nature. And in our passage in Ephesians we read today, you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. So everyone who's given their life to the Lord, asked him into their life, has been transferred from the domain of darkness and transferred to the kingdom of light. And earlier in our book of Ephesians, in chapter 4, it says that the Gentiles, that's non-Jews who are not yet born again, in verse 18, they walk in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding because of the darkness of their heart. So our heart can be in a state of darkness or light. And our mind can be in a state of darkness or light. And we can choose to allow light or darkness into our minds and into our hearts. And in a sense, life is a constant succession of choices of whether we allow light or darkness into our lives. God's rescued us. Now, my second point is that our new identity is light instead of darkness. So God says we are sons of light.
Excuse
Maureen,
me, Steve,
question.
Could you please turn the mirror to the wall because the light is shining right into my eyes. Thank you.
Isn't that a brilliant illustration of how the light
can cause trouble? It's like the man who said to the minister, "Thank you so much for that sermon. It was like water to a drowning man."
Sorry.
So thank you, Maureen. Yes. We don't want to blind people, do we? What's that children's song? You in your small corner and I in mine.
Jesus bids us shine
with a pure, clear light, like a little candle burning in the night. Something, you in your small corner and I in mine. But
In
this world of darkness, we must shine. You in your small corner and I in mine. So, in a sense, that's my message today. Are you shining in your small corner? And are you living in the light, or are you hiding away in the darkness? So our new identity is light instead of darkness. Paul says in this, "You are light," and he says, "You are all sons of light," in another passage. So God has given us light. So what do we do about it? My third point, choose light rather than darkness. Because this word says, "Walk as children of light." And then it has a rather encouraging verse. Did you notice that in verse 10? It says, "Trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord." Trying to learn. In other words, there's a process. In other words, we don't always get it right. In fact, we need to put forth effort not to become children of light, but to live as children of light. It involves practice. And I was very diligent with my concordance, and I looked up every reference to light in the entire Bible. Now, wasn't that amazing? Scores of them. Quite a few. And I found five principles here, how we can choose light rather than darkness. Number one is make Christ the centre. In other words, in every aspect of our life, see where the Lord Jesus could be involved or is involved and respond as if he were present, as if he were shining his light on us. So when there's a situation where I'm challenged, need to think. One question is, what would Jesus do? Another question is, what is Jesus doing in this person or in this situation? What is Jesus wanting to teach me? As opposed to shrinking away from it or responding in a very different way. Interesting verse for those of you who want to do a bit more study. In Romans 13 verse 12 it says, "Put on the armour of light." Put on the armour of light. And two verses later it says, "Put on Christ." So there's another analogy of putting on a set of clothes or putting on something which protects us. Put on the armour of Christ. Means focus upon him, regard him as our strength, our source of strength, and let him be our go-to place if we need help. There's a great deal more to say about the armour, but making Christ the centre. Put on the armour of light, put on the Lord Jesus. So, put on the armour of light. So instead of responding as if we're in the dark and as if we don't have Christ lighting us up. In a challenging situation, say, "Lord, how do you want me to be your light here?" Yesterday, I was in London for some meetings. There was a demonstration on the streets, making ever such a lot of noise. In fact, there were several demonstrations yesterday in London, and I wasn't at any of them. But one was so noisy I couldn't overhear. I couldn't fail to overhear. In fact, it was some vegans protesting for animal rights. and making a huge amount of noise. And they were causing quite a disruption. And I used the opportunity to pray out loud in various languages to that God would deal with the situation and so on. So just respond, seeing what has God put us in a place for? How does he want us to respond? Number two, use God's word as a light. We may well know the word that says in Psalm 119, "Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." In other words, what God says, and especially what's written here, is what he's given us to light up our way. And has often been said, he shines a light on our pathway just in the place where we need to put our foot. He doesn't necessarily shine it a long way ahead. We don't necessarily see all the way we're going or all the destination, but he shows a light on the path if we ask him to. There's a prayer in the Psalms, "Oh, send out your light and your truth, let them lead me." And again in Psalm 119, "The unfolding of your words gives light." So actually, there's that taught me that there's light folded up inside this book. And as we study and meditate on it and seek to see what it's really saying, it unfolds in us and we start to see hidden light that wasn't there before. As we speak it out, it can shed light on our path. So using God's word as a light, God's given us a light to lighten our pathway. That's the second. So when we decide we're going to read something or spend some time at our leisure, what do we choose to watch or listen to? Is it time listening to this? Or could it be watching something totally different? Something could be quite negative, quite destructive, whether it's on the screen or in a book. What's the balance of the input? On the whole, is there more balance of negative, dark stuff coming into our hearts and minds? Or is there more quantity of light and good and positive? So it's a question to ask if we want to live as children of light. My third way of living in the light, choosing light, comes at the beginning of the first letter to John, 1 John 1, verse 7. "If we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." And this is a passage which is saying we all commit sins, and if we deny it, we're deceiving ourselves. But if we confess our sins to God, then we enjoy his forgiveness, and we have fellowship with him. See, this is the message we've heard from him and announced to you, that God is light and in him there's no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So there's a question. If there's some sinful practice or habit that we are doing, something we're doing that no one else knows about, we're concealing it. We are darkening our light. We're switching off the light within. We're switching off the source of light. But God invites us to come to him, confess, yield, ask for his strength, ask for his light. And also perhaps to confess to another person and acknowledge, this is a spiritual struggle I've got at the moment. Will you pray for me? So that's another specific way that God talks about walking in the light. It's about acknowledging the things that we're doing wrong and coming to God and maybe coming to someone else. The fourth lesson about walking in the light is choosing to love and not to hate. Again, in that book of 1 John, chapter 2 and verse 9. Here's an interesting scripture. 1 John 2, verse 9. "The one who says he's in the light and yet hates his brother is in the darkness until now. The one who loves his brother abides in the light, and there's no cause for stumbling in him." So if we're nurturing resentment, hatred, dislike, intolerance of another person, that's turning our light off, interfering with our light. And here we need to choose to forgive, to accept, to value the other person, to honour them despite what they're doing? Do we want to live in the light or live in the darkness? So if there's anyone that we're currently struggling with, got an issue with, that's God's invitation. Receive my light, live in my light, choose to release that person, choose to forgive that person if you want to walk in the light. And the fifth pointer I found in Scripture about choosing light rather than darkness, I found in Matthew chapter 6, verse 22. It's about what we choose to look at. Again, I was talking about what we choose to spend time with, what we choose to look at. Matthew 6, verse 22. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. In other words, what we choose to look upon, what we choose to dwell on in our eyes with our vision, physical and spiritual, is what fills our entire life. If your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that's in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he'll hate the one and love the other, or he'll hold to one and despise the other. So there's another choice that God offers us. What do you choose to fix our eyes upon? That's a challenge for all of us. Maybe especially men, but not just only men. So five ways of choosing light rather than darkness. Number one, make Christ the centre. Every opportunity, see what he's doing in a situation. See what he's doing in someone. See what he wants to do in me. Number two, use God's word. God's words, the Bible, and all the other things that God says to us. Number three, acknowledge our sins and don't hide them and cover up. Number four, choose to direct love towards people who are unlovable or challenging, rather than directing hatred or resentment to them. And fifth, watch our eyes. What are we choosing to look at and watch and look for? And results of choosing the light. There's some lovely promises here which I want you to take to your heart. The path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. God intends every one of us to live in increasing light. I'm going to pray for us all in a moment that we would yield to that desire of God. God our Father, living in light, wants us to share his light more and more, to be reflecting it, to be projecting it, to be expressing it. Commit your way to the Lord, says Psalm 37. Trust also in him and he will do it, and he will bring forth your righteousness as the light. Lovely promise in Psalm 97. Light is sown for the righteous and gladness for the upright in heart. Light is sown for the righteous and gladness for the upright in heart. That tells us there's a process of sowing and reaping. If we continue to sow little seeds of light, we're going to reap a harvest of light. And that's a theme all the way through the Bible about little things we do have big consequences if they're repeated. So sow seeds of light. And there's a wonderful promise. Light is sown for the righteous. So God is creating a bigger light for us to walk in. And also gladness in heart. Gladness for the upright in heart. So let's recognize that we are lights. Did you know that every one of you who's asked the Lord Jesus into your heart, every one of you has committed yourself to the Lord, you are a light. When you go into a place, you bring a light with you. When you go into a dark place, you may be the only light in that dark place. And what we noticed is that when the lights are switched off, the presence of a light is most noticeable. You'd hardly notice that torch if I shone it on the ceiling when the lights are on, but you'd notice much more in the darkness. So the darker the situation, the more significant is the light that we have. And I want all of us to acknowledge that fact, that we are lights. You could say aloud, I am a light. I am a light. God has made me a light. God has put light in me. And I will shine for him. And I am shining for him. And I have been shining for him. Even if I didn't know it. Actually, a lot of the shining that we do is when we don't know it. That's another encouraging thought. Because I'm talking about darkness and light, and I don't want any of us to walk away with the feeling, oh dear, I've been walking in so much darkness, there's no hope for me. Every little bit of light actually conquers darkness. All you need to conquer darkness is to switch on a little light. It doesn't even need to be a big one. That's the way of the universe, because the creator of the universe is full of light, and darkness is just a case of where he hasn't penetrated yet, or where we're not allowing him to penetrate. That's all it is. So I want to pray for each of us now, that we will come out of darkness into light. And I think I'm going to say a sentence at a time and get you to repeat it so that you're making this personal. So you must... you have the choice. So we're just thinking of this notion that God has given us his light. He's shining his light on us. His light is inside us, and we're going to commit ourselves to shining for him. And we're going to commit ourselves to moving out of darkness. So, Father, thank you for what you have been saying.
Father, thank you for what you have been saying.
We bring our lives to you.
We bring our lives to you.
We acknowledge that we do have dark places in our lives.
We acknowledge that we do have dark places in our lives.
And we ask you to shine your light into those dark places.
And we ask you to shine your light into these dark places.
We acknowledge that some things we have been keeping covered.
We acknowledge that some things we have been keeping covered.
We ask for your willingness to bring them to you.
We ask for your willingness to bring them to you.
We ask for your light in the way we see things.
We ask for your light in the way we see things.
We choose to dedicate our eyes to you.
We choose to dedicate our eyes to you.
And we choose to receive your light into every part of our lives.
And we choose to receive your light in every part of our lives.
We choose to forgive those who we find it hard to forgive.
We choose to forgive those who we find hard to forgive.
We choose to listen to your word.
We choose to listen to your word.
We choose to see your love.
We choose to see your love.
And we choose to receive your love into our hearts.
And
now, folks, as you're breathing in and out, just notice, as you're breathing in and out, God is loving us. God is loving you. And with every breath, remember, God is pouring his love into your hearts. He's pouring his light into your hearts. So with every breath, receive God's light into every part of you. And so thank you, Father, for what you've been doing today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your constant pouring of light and love and life into us. And may we see those who are starving of your light, and may we pass some of your light to them. May we be a ray of sunshine to somebody today. And may we more and more live as children of light. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.